Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you this morning to the Reverend Deacon Doug Ringer for serving with us this morning. I appreciate your service, and it is the Lord's work indeed. Thank you. Well, this morning, friends, we celebrate many things. This is not a typical day of celebration on the church calendar or anything like that, but we do celebrate. We celebrate the good work of the Lord in our lives, both as individuals, bringing life from death, bringing blessing from curse, bringing forgiveness from sin, and in our life corporately together. We celebrate how the Lord works through His people in serving others, in writing cards to Joseph, in planning mission trip to Peru, in reaching out to our local community here at Hot Gap, at the Citadel, at St. John's High School. We celebrate the Lord's work in things like relief efforts in Western North Carolina. We celebrate new life in baptism. We celebrate generosity. We're in the season of stewardship and giving and hope and planning for next year. We celebrate because He gives, and we may receive because He gives. We celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our redemption. And beloved, we even celebrate in suffering because it draws us closer to God. In Mark chapter 10, which we've been reading for a few weeks now, it's a very long chapter in the gospel. Mark chapter 10, Jesus and the disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. They are on their way. The first eight chapters of the gospel of Mark cover, you know, most of the 3 years of his time on earth. And chapters really 11 through the end are 1 week in the life of Jesus. It's Holy Week as we know it. But Mark chapter 10 is sort of that transition point between the two. And what we see now is Jesus and his disciples, they're on their way to Jerusalem. They're making the way, the long journey to Jerusalem, with Jesus really, truly being the only one who knows what is going to happen once they get there. But we can see for the third time in just a couple of chapters in the Gospel of Mark here, right before our reading today, Jesus has foretold of his death. He has foretold them that he would be, them being his disciples, he has foretold them that he would be arrested, that he would be put on trial, that he would be falsely condemned, humiliated, and killed. This is the third time he's done this. This is also the third time that he's told them that he would rise on the third day after all of this takes place. Well, James and John, these two brothers, sons of a man named Zebedee, referred to by Jesus also in the Gospel of Mark as the sons of thunder, probably because they are boisterous, bold, and brave. They certainly have to be to ask this question that they asked Jesus today, right? So they ask in that boldness, Jesus, give us whatever we are going to ask you. Go ahead and just give this to us. Essentially, what they're asking is to be his sort of VIPs in eternity, to sit at his right hand and his left hand, to be the VIPs. Very interesting request, to say the least, right? Actually, their request is really more of a demand. They don't really ask him for this. Please, Jesus, would you let us sit at your right or left hand? No, they say, Jesus, give this to us. There's a Greek word that's used here. It's called didomai. Didomai, it really means to give, to offer, to bestow. They're saying, Jesus, we want you to give us. We want you to offer us. We want you to bestow upon us this great honor. I mean, we deserve it, right? We've been with you. We deserve this. Well, spoiler alert, Jesus is going to give them something for sure, but it's not quite what they're expecting. So James and John ask Jesus to sit at his right hand and his left in glory. Now, do they really know? Do they recognize? Do they realize that he has just revealed to them what his true glory is by foretelling of his crucifixion? That is his true glory. The true glory of God is no brighter and no more visible than when he is raised up, lifted up on the cross in that sacrifice for all of humanity. Do they know that that is what they're asking? To be at his right hand and his left hand in his true glory? They ask anyway. Whether they know that or not, I don't know, but they ask anyway. And Jesus tells them, you don't really know what you're asking here. You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Now this cup and baptism theme are quite sacramentally important for all of us, for James and John as well, but for all of us here today. The cup of which Jesus drinks, the cup that he is referring to, is the cup that is written about in the Old Testament, the cup of God's wrath and God's judgment, written about in many places in the Old Testament, particularly in several of the Psalms, in the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah as well. This cup that Jesus is referring to is also his own suffering, his own sacrifice that would satisfy the wrath of God. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus speaks of himself as the cup that would be poured out to take on the suffering and death because of the sins of mankind. Are John and James able to drink from this cup? Are any of us? Are James and John able to be baptized with the baptism that Jesus was baptized with? Can they possibly endure the obedience required to be baptized like Jesus? In Mark chapter 1, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, not as a cleansing of his sin. We know baptism to be a cleansing of sin, a preparation for a new life dedicated to Christ. Jesus was not baptized to cleanse him from his sin. He was without sin. He was sinless. So why was Jesus baptized? Jesus was baptized to show the complete and perfect obedience he had to God. This was the will of God. He had to do the will of God the Father. Is this the baptism that James and John could endure? The cup and the baptism, friends, together, they make the sacramental connection for us today in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which brings new life in the Spirit. Certainly James and John will be baptized, and certainly they will partake in the body and blood of Jesus at the Last Supper. But that isn't all. To be seated at the right hand or the left hand in God of God in eternity is to now live the life to which Jesus has been called, to live the life to which James and John have been called, to live the life to which all of us have been called. And that is a life of service, of suffering, and of sacrifice. This is the life, friends, that Lucy and Ellie Beth have just been called into as well, to live into a life of service, suffering, and sacrifice. And we get to celebrate this today. We do celebrate this today by investing, by making promises on their behalf to help their parents, to raise them in a Christian way, teaching them the scriptures, taking them to church, being in good and godly fellowship, and passing along the faith. This is a privilege. This is a privilege in which only Christians may partake. This is a privilege that is given by the power of the Holy Spirit and the unity and life together of the church. And despite what it may seem to outsiders, living a life of service, suffering, and sacrifice, friends, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. It's a blessing because it takes myself and my selfishness out of the equation. I can't provide my own salvation. I can't provide my own baptism. I can't provide my own cup to pour out for the sacrifice. That's provided for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and only by Him. Living a life of service, suffering, and sacrifice is a blessing because it takes me out of the equation. James and John asked, partly and probably due to their own self-seeking desires. They wanted to be the VIPs in eternity with Jesus. But Jesus already knew what their fate was going to be. He already knew that they were going to suffer quite immensely for His sake. Both of these men and disciples of Jesus were martyred for their faith, though John didn't die in his martyrdom. He died later of old age. Living out a calling to service, suffering, and sacrifice is giving up of self and taking on Christ. The example that Jesus gives is that example in His baptism, the perfect obedience to the Father. The obedience which is also displayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when He prays to the Father in anguish and in pain to allow this cup to pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If there was any other way than service, suffering, or sacrifice, it would have been done. If there was another way, it would have been done. There was no other way. There is no other way for us now. Jesus tells us that He is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through Him, that there is no other way. Coming to the Father inherently involves a life of service, suffering, and sacrifice. There is no other way. As much as we would like for that to be the case, there is no other way. We want to skip the suffering. No one likes to do that. No one likes to go through suffering. We want to skip the suffering and get straight to the grace. James and John wanted to skip what was next and get straight to the grace. The reality is, though, friends, we need to suffer at times. Suffering draws us closer to God. We need to serve others at times. Serving others draws us closer to God. We need to sacrifice, especially sacrifice our selfishness in ways that we may have never considered previously. The prophet Isaiah spoke through the Lord to tell who the Messiah was, who the Messiah would be. He did this 700 years before Jesus even walked on the earth. He said that the Messiah is going to be a suffering servant. He said that the Messiah will share with us in our suffering. He said that the Messiah would take us from suffering to healing. But it won't be cheap, and it certainly isn't easy. The Messiah would be pierced for our transgressions. He will be crushed for our iniquities. He will be humble. He will be lowly. He will pour out His own soul to be numbered with the transgressors. We, brothers and sisters, are the transgressors. Jesus poured out Himself to be numbered with us. We are the sinners Jesus chose to be with and pour Himself out for. He took on our sins. He paid our ransom, and it was with His own life. James and John asked Jesus to give them what they wanted. What they wanted was for themselves. And instead of what they wanted, He gave them His life. And he says this: "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give," didomai, "to give, to bestow, to offer His own life as a ransom for many." He used the same word that they used, but in a completely transformative way. we may have an idealized version of what Christianity is or should be. That perhaps it should even bring profit or extra blessings. It can make my life better. Certainly I'll get some sort of a reward here on earth from the Messiah. We may even think that blessings come with better or more prayers. Friends, that isn't true. Blessings come when we live into that calling upon each one of our lives to serve others, to suffer for Jesus' sake, and to sacrifice my own desires in order to participate in the building up of God's kingdom on earth. James and John were able to completely realize this only after the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost. So as we consider that we are in this time of stewardship, of giving, of preparing for the next year of what the Lord will have us do and say and where He will have us go, we remember our calling into this life of service, of suffering, and of sacrifice. We remember our own baptism. We look forward to the growing church and the welcoming of these two new daughters. We share the cup with one another. And we have that amazing and unwavering hope of the same Holy Spirit that came on that day of Pentecost more than 2,000 years ago, dwelling within us now to completely realize the investment that we make in service, suffering, and sacrifice. Amen.